Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. On this episode of The Rundown, we recorded live from Gusta Restaurant for the first race of the Runk Series here in Montreal. This event was created by Guff Red Power, who you can find at Guff Observation on Instagram. This first edition is called La Última Carrera. It's an alley cat style race where the goal will be to collect items at each checkpoint on the way to the finish, only finding out where they need to go once the race starts. Host crew Run Right will be at each checkpoint to greet the competitors, and will surely add a little twist to the event. Looking forward to seeing how this one unfolds and hearing what runners have to say after the race. Are you already subscribed to La Rundown, running with WRG, and still can't get enough? Sign up to our weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the run community, hear about exclusive events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Visit iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. So we're here at Gusta Restaurant on the night of the first race of the Runk Series, created by Guff.
Hi,
Guff is here, and the run leader for Run Right is here, and they're the host run crew that's going to be manning the checkpoints tonight. So, yeah, I just wanted to chat with you guys pre-race, and, you know, Guff, maybe from you, like, why did this happen? Like, La Última Carrera, it's the first race of the series. Why did this come about?
So, in the beginning, the idea it was to do this race at during the Halloween
season.
The party of the dead. So, and I would like to call this with a Spanish name. So, La Última Carrera come naturally. But it was too short to organize this race at the Halloween period. So, we place this race
in the dead of winter, when it's like cold.
Exactly. So, the idea is to merge many races all together. So the Última Carrera is the first of the long series during all the 2002 season.
And it's one of how many races?
I'm not sure yet.
And Butch, when you heard this, what was your thought about it? And when you found out you were getting involved, what was the thought process?
Well, I mean, I have a bit of a history with alley cat races in Montreal, having helped organize a few with a crew I used to roll with, East Laurier. Shout out to them. So I was kind of looking forward to it. And Gov told us that his target distance, which I think is safe to reveal now since we're all here, was roughly 15 to 20K. I thought, well, that's, crazy. I guess there's no other word for it, especially since we happened upon maybe one of the worst days, one of the coldest days this winter thus far. So
yeah. Right in February is the perfect time for a race.
I'd say really a crapshoot depending on what day you get. So we got a bad one. But at least it's clear skies. It's not snowing. It is just incredibly, incredibly cold.
But look at the turnout. How many registrations do you think we have, Guff? How many people have signed up for this crazy race?
Officially, we have 23, but I see many more in the restaurant right now. So I think we're going to be 35.
And any idea for how you think this kind of race is going to go, or any kind of predictions for winners or anything like that?
Nope.
Really, it boils down, races like this boil down purely to strategy. Well, I mean, obviously, running ability has something to do with it, but you know, a runner who's not so fast but really knows the checkpoints and knows all the shortcuts is going to be advantaged quite a bit. So, I mean, I know a number of runners here tonight, and a lot of them are very, very capable on road, but do they know the, you know, the backcountry? Because there will be some of that involved, at least the optimal route.
So, and having organized like races like this, what advice could you give to somebody who's racing this type of race for the first time?
If you're racing this type of race for the first time, I'd say once you are handed the manifest with the checkpoints, take your time before you leave. Like, a lot of people grab the manifest and just freak out, find the closest address on there, and then they leave immediately. But the closest isn't always the wisest choice. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say this a little bit lower, but the closest is not the wisest choice tonight. It's probably the dumbest choice, so let's hope none of them pick that. So really take your time, look at all the checkpoints and the requirements at the checkpoints, and then plan your route before leaving.
And having organized, helped organize this with you a little bit, and the checkpoints and everything, I know RunRight has put their twist on what is needed and what is asked of the runners when they arrive at their checkpoints, which is
we did what we could. We're running out of a vegan restaurant with no booze, and if RunRight's known for anything, at least half of it is booze. So we're going to try to incorporate a little bit of that outside of the start ending shoot.
Any last words, Goff, before we get kicked off here?
No.
What's your role going to be in this? It's going to be you're going to be biking around taking photos as usual?
No, I just stay at the Gusta restaurant for the start, for the depart. And maybe I'm going to place a photo booth to shoot the racer when they arrive at the end of the race.
I'm sure we're going to have some really good photos by the end of this, for sure.
The idea is have the faces and the pain and the cold. And
They're not going to like it.
Yeah, they all look pretty happy right now, but I don't know if they'll be the same when they come back.
And I want some people abandon. I want some abandon. I want bad comments about this race. So I hope there's going to be a lot of DNF people.
Oh, yeah.
Lost people in the wood.
Yeah.
Lost people on the mountain.
That could happen. So I think we're about to get ready to start here. But thanks, guys, for sitting with me. And we'll talk to some runners when the race is done.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks. Bye. So the runners left. They came back. And the dust has settled. And now we have a winner that came through. He's actually been a guest on the Rundown podcast before. He's a big figure in Montreal, a public figure in Montreal in the run community. And he knows these streets pretty good, so that probably came into play. Raul, congrats, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It was an awesome race. And actually, you know, these kind of race is like, it's not really a race. Basically, you see everybody at the beginning, and then you see everybody at the end, and you're running your own thing. You're probably by yourself, and you don't know if you're first, you're last, or whatever.
What did you think about the race concept in general, like this whole race series idea that Goff came up with? What were your initial thoughts before even entering into the race?
I mean, I always love Goff, all the races that he organizes. There's always something different and not something original. And it's not like too crowded of a race. It's not like you're running with like 50,000 people. So, you know, there's going to be like 30 people or something like that. But it's like once I got here, it's like, hey, it's all like good runners that are here. And yeah, so it's, you know, it's always a good challenge.
So looking at the roster of runners, when you show up to something like this, I know sometimes you're like looking around and it's like, wow, I'm not as fast as these people, let's say, but it's not that kind of race. A lot of it comes into, you know, strategy and how you can outsmart somebody or like actually read the manifest, right?
Because
like the big part of this was like the checkpoints.
Yeah.
So what was your strategy going in when when like knowing that it's a checkpoint race? And
yeah, so at the beginning I was a little bit worried because I saw a lot of runners and some I know they're faster than me, like on a specific distance. And also I had like forgotten my headlamp. So I go, okay. And everybody had a headlamp. So I go, okay, I'll see what I can do with that. And but then once I saw the manifest, I was like, I knew all the checkpoint exactly where they were. So, I was running and, I think I did like the fastest route that was possible, basically.
Okay. Yeah. Did you run with anybody at the start and then break away? Or
at the beginning, a little bit, but just maybe for like 5 minutes. And then afterwards, I had nothing. Actually, I think it was an advantage, the fact that I didn't have a headlamp, because I was dressed all in black. So I was very like...
Stealth.
Yeah, stealth.
So people can track you down.
Yeah, yeah. People, when I got to checkpoints, they were really surprised to see me, actually. They go, hey, you're here. I was like coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, the big controversy, I think, like looking at the, because I was helping organize as well, and a lot of the chat was about the shoe.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't pick up the shoe to bring, because you had to bring a shoe from one location to another location.
Yeah.
That's how they kind of connected.
Yeah.
So is that something that stood out to you on the manifest right away? Like how thoroughly did you look at that? Because you clearly got it right.
Yeah. Well, actually, I didn't look at the pickup, but I was really lucky because I did like Belle Chasse, which was the first one, like Taverna. And then I went to Vincent Dindy. And then when I was looking at that, I saw a pickup. I go, oh, it's perfect. You know, it was actually the point that I was going to go to. And it was actually a pickup. So then afterwards, since I didn't have a lamp, my strategy was try to keep myself like on roads and clean roads, and that way I could run actually a lot faster than if I tried to like go through like the mountain or something like that, you know.
So what made you go one way instead of the other? Because like you were saying, a reverse route could have hurt you because you show up at summit first
and
you don't pick up the shoe, right?
Yeah. I think I saw people with like running opposite direction without the shoe.
Yeah.
And when I got to a checkpoint, dropping off the shoe, somebody told me a lot of people messed up with the shoe thing and everything. So I go, oh, okay, it's good.
Cool. Would you do another one of these races now that you're, because of the point systems, the way they work for the season, right? This is something I didn't address before, but it's like a whole point system. So the more races you enter, you get in this ranking.
Yeah. Well, this one, I think I had like a good advantage because I have been running on these, like in this area for the past 3 years. And every week I do routes for like groups. So for the run club, so I know the streets very, very well and all the little like corners and everything. But if it had to be like in another area, I wouldn't have like that advantage. So, it's like a huge advantage. Yeah, because I felt like I wasn't running that fast, you know. I just felt like,
just steady.
Yeah. Steady pace.
But you knew where you were going.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the key.
No hesitation.
Yeah, that's it. I think when you hesitate and then you lose your way a little bit, I think that's when you lose time and...
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much and congrats again in the victory of the first race of the season, essentially.
Awesome. And 1 point. I got 1 point.
Exactly. So we're going to get our next guest to sit down here with us and enjoy the rest of your night.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for being here, Justin.
No problem. So, we're just here at Gusta Restaurant. Like Raul, again, he had a great race. The strategy was kind of read the manifest, which is a key component. And he actually got lucky the way he planned his route because there's two checkpoints that where you had to do one before the other because you had to bring this shoe with you from the ski hill to Summit Circle. And that's exactly how he did it. But slow and steady kind of wins the race. So we're going to get our next guest here to sit down in just a few seconds, so hang tight. Yeah, so we're just going to let our next guest settle in here. He finished second place. His name is Charlie. Charlie, what's going on?
A little hazy. I don't think I've ever ran that fast before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was pushing for sure. I got excited. I feel like I get the bunny rabbit effect when someone's in front of me. I just want to charge it.
So were you running with people a lot during this?
I started with people, and then I was like, nah, I'm going to trust myself. So I started with a group of four, and then I kind of just took off, and I was like, I think I'm going to go my own way, and took off alone.
What stood out to you when you got the manifest? How much attention did you pay to it?
How much I didn't know the places.
Okay.
So right away, I was like, it's in Georges, 240-100, Summit Circle. Okay, I get that. That's far. And then the other thing, so instantly went to the phone, and then I started mapping it out, and then when I knew, it was game over.
Okay.
But I almost took a wrong turn. I think I took a wrong turn.
Oh, where was that?
So I went to the bar first, and then from the bar, I was like, I'm going to go to that 240-100 spot next to Sepsin. And then I was like, no, I'm going to go to the mountain first, and then go to Summit Circle, and then Sepsin. And then when I got to Summit Circle, the guys there gave me a weird vibe, because I said I was going right over, and then I looked at my manifest again, and I was like, oh no, I got to go to 240 first.
Oh.
So I ended up getting to the statue, and I climbed all the way to the lookout, the slanted lookout. And then I realized when I was up there, bombed down Comedian Hood, jumped the fence into next to the cemetery near Outremont, ran down the hill, and then I sprinted through right to Sepsin, blasted up that hill, and then picked up the shoe, went to Summit Circle, made my way back down.
Wow, yeah. And you, so I actually saw you at the statue.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm going right over this thing. And you probably took a very trail-like approach, whereas like Raul took like, he just said like, oh, I took the streets and like as clean as possible so that I could run a little bit quicker. So it's like really interesting, like the style that you had versus what he had, but at least you got the shoe, right? Because that's the big... I think the big component here is that when people did the reverse, they got completely screwed.
100%. Yeah. There was no way that you could have made up for any time if you didn't go and get the shoe. Like, if you messed up one thing, then you were gone. But yeah, I love going the most unconventional way possible. I feel it's more interesting.
How'd you hear about this race, and what made you want to do it?
I know Carole and Go from biking back in the day, because I used to bike all the time. So I knew them, and she hit me up. She said I would love this race, and I was like, okay, let's do it. And I was just like, why not? Give my word, and I came.
Is this kind of how they do those races, like on bikes kind of thing?
Yes. Like, I didn't know if it was a running thing before, but I used to be a bike messenger, and I remember that this was a thing, Alley Cats. You get a manifest, and you kind of go to these random checkpoints. I remember doing one unsuccessfully, but I didn't know if it came for running first, but it's super fun of an idea of a race because it's last minute and it keeps everybody on their toes. So I think it's a biking thing. I don't know 100%, but I'm down with it. It's super fun.
Well, will you do another one of these races? Like they're going
to
go
on.
But
there's no reason not to. I mean, it's all about having fun. So I think it's important to just get out there, and whatever the level of the race is, just throw yourself at it and see what happens.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much, man, for sitting down with me and chatting.
Of course, man. Thank you so much.
We'll try and get a few more people in here to, to share their experience.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Of course.
So, yeah, we just spoke to Charlie, like a little bit different strategy compared to Raul. He kind of like tackled the mountain and went through the trails and did his thing, but whereas Raul took the clean streets, and that's where he found success. So we'll talk to a few other people here in just a minute, so just hang tight. So everyone's starting to pour in now, looking to grab a few more guests to speak to. Okay, I see Steph is right here, so we'll grab her to let her get settled in here. And Steph, like, thanks for stopping here to chat with me. And how did you enjoy your race?
It was super fun. I actually didn't feel like leaving the house later this afternoon, but I'm glad I came out.
Because it was like, it's pretty cold out right now.
It's chilly, but I mean, if you're dressed well, it's okay.
It's fine, yeah. So what kind of compelled you to sign up for a race like this? I know it's probably not what you're used to.
No, but I really like the community running scene, and obviously I'm friends with the organizers, and I wanted to support the cause, so yeah, I just grabbed a couple girlfriends, and we made it out.
I think you guys came in like together, but like one of the first girls that completed the whole thing, so that's kind of exciting too, right?
Yeah, funny, because at first we were like, oh shit, where the heck are we going?
Yeah,
and so Jen had her GPS, and I was like strategizing on like where we should go first, and like I knew kind of because of some of the trail running we've done, like where some of the stairs were and kind of some shortcuts.
Yeah.
And then Catherine kind of just followed us, and we just kind of made a good team.
Nice. Did you guys, how much time did you take with the manifest before you actually took off?
A good minute, like I'd say. Like we looked at it and we saw that there was a checkpoint where we had to pick something up and then drop something off. So we're just trying to figure out what the best order would be.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were almost pretty much the last ones to leave, actually.
Okay.
Which is typical for me. Just, I think too much sometimes. But yeah, we kind of made our way. And
it's cool that you picked up on the pick something up, drop something off, because that's where a lot of people went wrong.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think in the route planning, they showed up at Summit Circle first. But they needed to bring the shoe from the ski hill there, right? So
they went too fast.
Yeah, so it created this kind of mayhem in the race. So I know being part of like the organizing and stuff, you kind of see that happening in the chat and like, oh, like not necessarily the fastest people are coming in the door first because there's that extra component to it.
Yeah.
Do you like that part compared to your regular racing?
Yeah. Because you have to think about it and like, it's almost like, you know that saying, sometimes if you try and go too fast, you actually slow yourself down. Mm. You're not taking the time to think about it.
Awesome. Is this the kind of first race you've done like this, or have you done other ones?
I've actually done something similar in the fall, but it was on a motorcycle. So my husband organizes the motorcycle show, and there's this group called One Land that does a scavenger hunt in November.
Wow.
It's also for a good cause, and everyone kind of dresses up in fur because it's obviously cold to ride a motorcycle in November, but it was a scavenger hunt on motorcycles around the city.
So cool.
So we've done it that way, and I've done one alley cap before, but I can't remember which one. Anyway,
it's okay. What was your strategy kind of going in, like not knowing what to expect and everything? What were your
kind of? I was just here to have fun.
Yeah.
With friends and
yeah. And there's quite a there's like new, same faces and then new ones too,
yeah.
Right? So it's kind of fun to get to hang out and stuff and enjoy some good food and drinks after.
I'm not competitive, so I was like, I could have came in last and it would have been just as fun. It really doesn't matter.
Well, with that attitude, it's impossible not to, right?
Yeah.
Thanks so much for sitting with me, and I'm glad you enjoyed your racing. Congrats.
Thanks, Justin.
No problem. So yeah, that was Steph, and she had a completely different strategy, like not going out to win at all, and ended up with a really good result. So that's kind of all you can ask for. But yeah, the people continue to pile in here, and not everyone picked up that shoe, which is ends up killing people's races. But looks like everyone still had a really good time. So we'll just wait here until we can pull somebody over to chat with next, and just hang tight again. I'm going to call Paul over here. So he just came in the door, so I want to see how Paul's race went. He runs with Run Right sometimes, and just going to hand him the earphones, saddle in. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, you?
Oh, man. Glad to be back. Hey.
So?
Is my nose still on my face?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It's red there, but.
Yeah. I feel like Rudolph.
So how did everything go with you?
Yeah, it was great. We opted for the trails instead. We thought we could do some sneaky moves to get over to the ski hill, but turned out we put ourselves a couple of Ks back. So.
Okay.
But it was still fun. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, nice night, I think, if you were running. Standing still, not so much.
No, poor Pierre. He was frozen at the top of that thing.
But. Yeah.
But it was great.
I was at the bottom of the statue, so I was happy to be on ground level on a ski hill. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, no, it was pretty cold up there, but I think once we got to the top, we were fairly sweaty and happy to get up there and get a little breeze.
Did you manage to get to all the checkpoints?
We did. We started off with the monument. We saw you, and then we went to the ski hill, the summit, and then we came back through to the tavern, which I'm glad because we had to drink the beer. And I'm glad I did that with only 1K left.
Where did you think you were in the race?
We really didn't know. I know that when we left the monument, we decided to go up we crossed over Kamiyanud, and then we went in the little back area, the little sneaky part. And I think that set us back, and we thought, I think Leisha told us we were at like 22nd or something like that when we were at the summit. So
okay,
but it never really crossed our minds. We just wanted to go have fun and spend a good night out.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like you did.
Oh,
that.
It was fantastic.
Did you have a strategy going in, or what was
yeah, just don't stop, just keep going, and didn't have any strategies. It's mostly just have fun.
Yeah,
that was the main goal. I mean, Ben and I love running up on the mountain. We do it every day, so it wasn't anything out of the ordinary, but it was definitely nice to be able to go out and have fun with friends and
for sure
enjoy a good night out on the
it's
mountain.
It's a nice community we have.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, it's awesome. Hey.
How many Ks did you end up running?
We ended up doing 20 on the nose.
Okay.
So we did about 4 more than some other people, but that's all right. It was a good extra 4 for the bank.
For
so,
sure.
Yeah,
and I think if you got the shoe before you went to summit, you're a winner. Because a lot, I think more than half the field didn't do that. So.
Yeah, I heard that. I saw that and I felt their pain.
Especially if they actually went back.
Oh, I would have died. I don't know if I would have done that. I would have probably hopped in a taxi.
For sure. Well, Paul, thanks for sitting with me,
you.
Man.
Yeah, I appreciate
glad you enjoyed
it.
Yourself.
Great event.
And we'll pull over some other runners to awesome. Get their experience.
All right. Thanks so much.
Hey, no problem.
All right, bye.
I think we're going to try and get Leisha over here to kind of give us her update of what happened. She was at one of the checkpoints as well, and as was I. And kind of get that kind of perspective on the race and people's distress and what actually happened out there. No, I've been interviewing a bunch of runners, and just to kind of get their take, I got Raul, Charlie, number one and number two guys, and some other people with their perspective of the race. And it seems like everybody just loves the community vibe of the race, and I think everybody really loves golf and Carol too. So it's no surprise. But I just wanted to get I know how it went at the statue, and, you know, the statue was like, it was a point where in the race where either you were just starting out or you were finishing. So there wasn't a lot of distress. I think the stressful part of this race was Ski Hill and Summit. I want you to share some of the things you saw out there, and like, because that was probably the most challenging part. It was the furthest part from the start, and where people could have slipped up. So
exactly. So basically, Summit. On our way to Summit, we realized that it wasn't super clear that people had to show up with a shoe. That they had to. It said that they had to drop off the item, but I don't know. We had an inkling that that would happen, and lo and behold, the first six guys that ran through didn't have a shoe. So we were like, guys, you need a shoe, and it's not about like. You don't want to DNF because this is like a point system race. You want the points anyway. So even if you don't win and you're dead last, you want those points. So that was interesting. Like it was stressful for that. And then like the first shoot came in and shoe. Like it's a very exciting.
Who was the first shoot? Was it Raul?
Good or? Question. No, Raul was second. He came out of the woods. We were like, holy shit.
Okay.
Maybe the first guy was Shackley.
Okay.
Possibly.
Okay. That's interesting.
Because
he finished second and Raul finished first. So,
yeah, Raul knew the secret stairs.
Yeah.
He knew.
Because he knows about every part of that mountain. If there's a one guy that knows the route that we were planning,
yeah,
it's Raul.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
And he ended up finishing first. Was there any shocking people, like any surprises for you?
I think we all expected to see Shadow a little earlier on, but he didn't run alone, so it was fun. When he showed up, he was like, hey, you guys want some rum? You want some of that? He was really just having a good time.
He came prepared.
Yeah, he ran with a teammate, so it was nice to see that. Pleasantly surprised that Raul brought it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. There's fast guys out there, and he ran with the best of them.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't necessarily mean, like, just because you're not the fastest doesn't mean you can't win these kind of races,
you gotta
right?
Be smart.
You gotta be smart, too.
Yeah.
Some, you know, that's kind of where I might have faltered in this race.
Probably me too. Would not have read.
Are we going to get into any of these races, or where are you going to get stuck?
Yeah, there? The rest of them.
Okay.
The rest of them are ours, yeah. And we get, like, we get the points for this one because we volunteered.
So. Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, okay. So it's not lost, so that's a nice thing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Leisha. Enjoy the rest
My
of your night.
Pleasure.
And we'll try and drag some other people in here and kind of close out the night a little bit before it gets too loud.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Yeah, so just good to get some other perspective on the race as like organizers, volunteers. Like these types of races take an army to do, and we're lucky I'm lucky to run with Runright, and they're a good crew, and we kind of bonded together and took care of the checkpoints for the race and all spread out through Montreal, and so it's a lot of fun, and people are just here enjoying their food and drinks, which has been organized by Carol and Goff. Again, all the profits from this race go to a local charity, and all towards a good cause. So can feel good about our health, but also feel good about doing something for those who need. So I'm just going to pull over Butch now. I know we spoke to him earlier, but we want to get his final statement on the race, and he's planned quite a few of them, so interesting to get his perspective on kind of what worked, what didn't work. And well, I mean, I think it did work. I think it's a great success. People are in here, they're all chatting and having a good time, and Butch is back.
I'm back. Oh my god.
I'm glad I didn't race this one, because it was freaking cold outside.
Yeah, well, you know what? At least you're running when you're standing around at the top of Westmount. The temperature down here was fine, and I thought we'd be totally okay, but for some reason, at the top of Westmount, it was so windy and absolutely freezing, so...
So what was the most surprising thing about tonight and the race that happened? Were you expecting Raul to win, or?
I don't know if anyone expected Raul to win. I mean, Raul's a great runner, but at the same time, there's the caliber that was here. I think things could have shook out a little differently had people read the manifest properly before leaving.
Yeah.
Judging by the first six showing up with the shoe.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to call this podcast, the shoe, because the shoe was the make or break.
It was really the only, it's such a simple alley cat. Like, some alley cats have 10 stops. This one had like four legitimate ones and one kind of half-assed one. And I mean, it was the only curveball. And it got the first six people, and then everyone else was smart enough. But
what was the look on their face? Was it defeat? Was it shock?
I'd say out of the six, five of them were upset at us, and one of them was upset with himself because he's a veteran, like a bike racer, and like he's done alley cats, like he's done hundreds of them before. So when he finally took 2 seconds to read the manifest, you could see him like kind of accept defeat. And he's one of the ones who didn't come back with the shoe. Out of the six, we had two people actually run all the way back, grab the shoe, and then come back to
no
us.
No way.
Which those people, I think the optimal path we had was somewhere around 16 kilometers.
Yeah.
So those people were pushing 25 probably.
Wow. Yeah, I was wondering how much the like what would be the longest distance that someone would have ran for something like this, but
yeah, I mean you were part of the planning, so we had anticipated like 16 to 19K maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think there'd be anyone crazy enough to go back and get the shoe, because I don't know if this was mentioned before, but the way we set up the ski hill, we were having someone hand the shoe at the bottom of the ski hill, and then they're told they need to bring it to the top, and at that point they probably think they only need to carry the shoe to the top of the ski hill, but then they're told they need to run another 4 kilometers.
Oh, that was nice from Jeff. Nice little kiss.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, so not only did they have to go back for the shoe, these shoeless people, they had to climb the ski hill with the shoe just to get the check mark on their manifest. So,
being part of the planning and everything, is there anything you can think of off the top of your head that maybe you would have changed or done differently for this race? Or do you think it was kind of like executed perfectly? And
I mean, nothing's perfect. There's always room for improvement. Things I would have done, I think a checkpoint race of this size would need like clear cutoffs at certain stations. maybe a little bit clearer directions on the manifest. I don't know. I mean, 21 out of 27 got it right. So, I mean, maybe that's just the name of the game.
That's kind of the whole point, right? Yeah. Like, you got to read.
Yeah, but I'd say cutoffs for sure. Like at Summit Circle, which is roughly 8 kilometers from the start finish here, we would have needed a clear cutoff, clearly marked on the manifest. So that way you can make a judgment call before, and maybe better just management of people that didn't really have bibs on. Their bib was a piece of paper in their pocket, and it's kind of hard to manage numbers. We each should have had like a concrete list, because we were never sure. We were counting shoes to find out who had DNF'd and who hadn't.
Right. And like you're saying, the numbers in the pocket, it's also hard with gloves for the runners to take them off and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's easier if you're just marking people as they kind of run by or whatever.
I think when the idea of the race came around to go, if it was a lot warmer outside.
Yeah.
No one was factoring what it was going to be today.
Well, he was saying he wanted to do it in October for Halloween, and now we're mid-February, and it's like minus 20 outside, so.
Yeah.
So. That's the way she goes.
Yeah.
Anyways, I can't wait for the next one. Hopefully we get to run it. Thanks a lot, Jerome, for all your hard work and tent. You had a tent.
Yes.
Pitch.
Best setup.
The best setup.
Waiting to party.
Next year it'll be a different crew hosting.
Yeah.
So we will get to run it.
For sure.
And I think we might have to after what we did to these four people.
Yeah. But the first of many races this year for the Runk series, and it'll be fun for sure.
Yep.
Okay. Absolutely. See you next Thursday, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Justin. See you later.
No problem.
This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. What's really good is running with people who are fun, friendly, and positive. Whatever your experience, age, or identity, you're welcome to join us at the base of Mount Royal every Monday night at 7 p.m. Just look for the group of smiling faces next to the monument. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. If you want to learn more, visit our website, iamarunner.ca, and check out their Instagram, at WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at iamarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram, at The Rundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
The Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henry, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and hosted by Justin Pugliese.